Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, this is Jeff Salkin for Ion the Community. We have two very special guests with us today in studio, Dr. Samir Nair, a well-known orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Himanshu Patel, who specializes in family medicine. Both doctors are affiliated with and represent Choice Medical Group, the Victor Valley, California area's only locally owned and operated medical group for over 26 years. Dr. Nair and Dr. Patel are also well-known healthcare experts, and will be talking with us today about healthy aging and how important that is for families in today's 21st century healthcare environment. Welcome to Eye on the Community, doctors.
Thanks a lot, Jeff, Entercom and Choice Medical Group, for having Dr. Patel and I on your show.
Thank you for having us, Jeff.
You're welcome, and thank you for being here. Yeah. Before we start talking about our topic today, healthy aging, would you introduce yourselves and tell our listeners a little bit about your backgrounds and your specialties and why you chose healthcare as a calling? Samir, Dr. Nair, if you could start first.
Thanks a lot. So my name's Samir Nair. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I just finished my adult reconstruction fellowship at NYU. Grew up and raised actually in the Apple Valley region, but did all my training back in New York. So it's kind of like a coming back home for me. You know, the benefit of doing orthopedics is patients, it's trying to maintain that active, healthy lifestyle for those patients as well. So it's a gratifying feeling of helping people who are in pain, taking them out of pain so then they could continue their, you know, normal activities.
Welcome home.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, and welcome to our studios. Himanshu, well, Dr.
Patel. I'm Himanshu Patel, and I was actually born and raised in Canada initially. Went to school in the U.S., trained at the University of Alabama, picked family medicine, did my residency training there. I was a chief resident there. Decided to come to California, well, one, because I had Dr. Nair here recruit me and told me there was a dire need for primary care. And I picked primary care because, well, I didn't want to get bored, and we cover everything, you know, from pediatrics to geriatrics and everything in between. So it's been a passion of mine to be here, and I'm very honored to be here to serve the High Desert.
Welcome to the studio and welcome to the High Desert.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Today's topic is about healthy aging. And my first question, really, there's so much talk about healthcare in the United States today.
Correct.
And here in California. And we have a lot of people here in Southern California that are listening to Eye on the Community today. And because of some of the misconceptions, I like picking healthy aging. Can you tell us a little bit about what does healthy aging mean in today's healthcare environment as people learn more about what they need to do and what they have been doing?
Absolutely.
So Jeff, you nailed this one on the dot. This is a very important topic as it affects all of us. Whether you want to accept it or not, the one thing we can't stop is getting older. But what we can do is control how we age, or what we are calling healthy aging. We all know that, you know, exercise is good for us, but some people think that with each passing year, they should try to do less and take it easy. Well, that's absolutely wrong. We strongly advise that regular exercise for the elderly offers great benefits, including, you know, extending lifespan and ease symptoms from chronic conditions. Some studies have actually shown that only 1 in 4 people exercise regularly between the age of 65 and 75. Increased fitness, strength, confidence, coordination, and mood are just some of the positive effects of exercise. Actually, I was reading recently a World Health study that showed that even just gentle, regular exercise can increase lifespan by 3 to 5 years. If you don't have motivation to do it by yourself, do it with a friend or join a workout class. Weakness and poor balance is also linked to inactivity, more so than age. This is very important, especially as we all get older, since by improving muscle strength and bone density, this can be helpful in reducing the risk of falls. The same study showed that it could actually reduce the risk of like breaking your hip by 40%.
When you talk about exercise in general, I think most people jump up, maybe don't jump up, and go, oh, I don't want to exercise. Right. You know, I don't need to do that, whether you're 22 or whether you're 72. What is the best way to start? Is it really as simple as walking or you're lifting lifting a 5-pound weight? Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about simple things that they could do to start if they haven't done it?
You're absolutely correct. What we've seen, and as Dr. Nair was saying, there's studies that show that simple exercise, graduated exercise program is the key. If you haven't exercised before and you're starting off and you're dusting off and you're about to start exercising, it's a graduated exercise. You don't want to jump in and just start, you know, running a marathon. That's not the point. The point is start off by walking. Do 30 minutes a day, gradually get to 45 minutes, build up that endurance. And as you do that, what happens is there's an actual physiologic change in the body. And I'm going to give an example in people who do have pre-diabetes. What we see is at the cellular level, we actually start seeing that their bodies are able to process sugars a lot better. And this is simply just by starting a graduated exercise program. And then eventually get to a healthy a level where you're exercising regularly, weekly. And by doing that and keeping that consistent, what you'll do is you'll reduce your blood pressure. You'll reduce your pre-diabetes or your sugar levels in your body. And essentially, you can cure yourself from pre-diabetes. I mean, for simple with simple changes in your lifestyle.
I think of starting, and I'm not going to mention the number of years, but it was 12 years ago. I didn't exercise for a very long time, and it created a medical issue. Correct. I was advised by my doctors, start exercising, Jeff, and eat better. And one of the things we're going to discuss during our conversation is also whole foods and other things you can do, supplements, if those are good for you. But for now, I think of somebody sitting in their house who's listening to us now or driving in their car, or even if you're at, going to work in the morning, during lunchtime, get up and just walk around the building. Yeah. Or if you're at home, just walk up the block to start, you know, put jogging clothes on or shorts. It's beautiful weather for the most part here in Southern California.
Absolutely.
It's that simple to get going. But, you know, why do you think it's difficult for folks to at least take that literal first step?
Yeah, you know, I think you nailed it, Jeff. So I think it's kind of sometimes that fear factor and that motivation is, you know, behind it. It comes down to the question is, where do I start?
Yeah.
You know, where do I take that first step? And it's literally, like you said, just take a quick 2-minute stroll. You start from there. And like Dr. Patel was mentioning, you build from there. And then eventually it's going to become a habit. And this habit, you're going to honestly grow completely with it. Exercise isn't really just good for you physically, though. You know, maybe even more important is that it affects you mentally as well.
Excellent point.
Besides the emotional and, you know, mood benefits, actually, by having an active lifestyle, you decrease the risk of dementia and, you know, a probability of developing Alzheimer's as well.
And is that because your body physiologically is managing itself differently, or what manifests that?
Yeah, I think you just keep those chronic, you know, conditions at bay that, you know, you're with just any sort of exercise in general, you just have that increased blood flow. That keeps, you know, like Dr. Patel was mentioning, at a cellular level, you keep everything a little healthier.
You also release a lot more endorphins as well.
Tell us about endorphins, because again, the I've heard endorphins. Mm-hmm. I know they're in me.
Right.
I know they're in everybody.
Right.
But what does that mean to somebody who's not as technically aware?
So, I mean, I'll try to mention this as, I'll try to explain this as simply as I possibly can.
Right.
Because that is a pretty long
We don't have a blackboard
topic
here in the studio.
Exactly. So what it is actually not just endorphins, but when what Dr. Nair was mentioning is that by exercising, staying healthy, you do keep you stay healthy physically and mentally. And the mental aspect of it is that you're pretty much firing more neurons. And by firing more neurons, you're keeping things flowing. And with that, you release certain, you know, I hate to say it, but it's certain chemicals in the brain that are released. And that gives you that sense of feeling good, you know, being happy, and that carries on and it sustains the longer you are exercising. And then I have many patients that suffer from, for instance, depression. You know, they're physically they're fine, but emotionally they're not. And I don't think we really realize the impact of the emotional well-being or the impact on families of not being emotionally normal.
You mentioned families. A lot of moms and dads, or moms and dads, who are in their 20s and 30s and maybe in their 40s, who have young children who are 5 or 8 or 12 or 15. There's a lot of video games, and there's a lot of couch potato syndrome and worrying about staying indoors instead of getting outdoors. What can you suggest to moms and dads that they really need to take seriously about helping their children get healthy as they get into their teens and their 20s and their 30s?
Get them outside. Get them outside. You know, take them, make them play outside. That's what we did when we were kids. I mean, we had our time to play video games. I mean, it's something that's fun. I don't think you should completely limit it, and it's something that they enjoy, but in moderation. You know, it's what happens is when they're so indwelled in playing video games, they're not physically active.
Right.
And when they're young, you don't see the effects because they're young. But later on, what ends up happening is they start putting on the pounds. Their metabolism has essentially slowed down. It goes into what we call starvation mode. Now, if, for instance, you know, people tell me I only eat one. This is an example of how the body works. If people tell me that, oh, I only eat one meal a day, how come I'm not losing weight? The simple, you know, and the simple version of that is your body goes into starvation mode. So when you eat that one meal, you're not active, you only need a certain amount of energy per, you know, for that day. And when you eat that meal, your body's like, well, I only need a portion of that energy. The rest I'm going to store. Where do you think that goes?
Fat.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. Or you build up what we call insulin resistance, which is essentially so much sugar in the blood that eventually the insulin isn't working. Insulin's the key that puts sugar back into your cells.
Oh.
Right. And it's a lock and key mechanism. So if you stay active, you're burning more of those calories because your cells need it. You know, as you use energy or you're active, you need something to fuel that. So essentially, you're keeping the blood sugar low. And that's why I tell, going back to our younger generation, is get them outside. So what you're essentially doing, just playing in the yard or, you know, shooting some hoops or playing some football or even just riding your bike, that it keeps the mind fresh and also the body physically healthy. And
for our folks who are over, you know, say in their 50s or 60s or 70s, a lot of folks may be exercising.
Right.
You want to be careful not to over-exercise and hurt yourself. But for those who might be in our listening audiences in Southern California right now, who are in their 50s or 60s, who may have not exercised in 30 years, what would you suggest for them? Because, go out and play hoops, get outdoors, walk the block. But how important is the food that we consume? I'd like to talk more about that part of healthy aging. Absolutely. And just growing up and getting older. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, the actual definition of medicine in the Webster's Dictionary is actually the science and art of dealing with the maintenance and health and the prevention, alleviation, or cure of disease. So food acts as medicine, you know, to maintain, prevent, and treat disease. The food that we eat gives our body the information and materials they need to function properly. If we don't get the right information, our metabolic processes suffer and our health actually declines. If we get too much food or food that gives our bodies the wrong instructions, then we can become overweight, undernourished, and the risk of developing, you know, the chronic diseases such as arthritis, diabetes, and heart disease.
It doesn't mean that that could happen in somebody who's a little bit older, say in their 40s or 50s. This could happen in a child.
Correct.
If you're not careful. So anybody who's responsible for taking care of feeding children or teenagers, what would you recommend for them? Because there's so much sense of urgency to get to move around and go eat, you know, food that probably isn't best for us. You probably see that all the time.
I do.
What kind of tips can you give our listeners about that?
So Jeff, you know, so many people in the developed world, such as, you know, America, we eat too much of the same type of food. For example, like, you know, the saturated fats that we get in fast food, and we become overweight. Obesity is becoming a huge problem, a huge epidemic in America. One third of actually all Americans are obese. So one third of all Americans are overweight, which leads to those chronic, you know, problems that we're discussing before. The body actually needs a variety of five nutrients. So, you know, it's kind of what we learn, you know, in elementary school or high school. The five nutrients are the protein, carbohydrate, fat, vitamins, and minerals. This is the food we need as a combination to stay healthy and productive. As long as we get a balance of these five nutrients, then we maintain a healthy lifestyle that we're talking about.
For those five nutrients, can you give an example of what a pro? I never want to assume that everybody who's listening to us who would really like to wake up in the morning and go, you know what, I'm really going to try this, that we've given them one extra tip that they could think about. What is it? Fiber? Is it fruit? Is it chicken? Or is it beef? What should they think about when they plan out their food for the week?
So just breaking these nutrients down, since we've all heard of these terms, or whenever we look at, you know, the back of, you know, some food item, you know, we all look at that total fat thing and, you know, kind of make our decision based off that. Just as a simple definition of these terms. So what is protein? Proteins need to build, maintain, repair muscle, blood, skin. Examples of what protein are include, like, you know, meat, eggs, soy, dairy, fish.
Okay.
Carbohydrates, those are the nutrients that provide the body with its main source of energy, quick energy. That's what carbohydrates do. And those are usually, you know, starches and sugars such as, like, you know, rice, potatoes, wheat, fruit, honey, you know, chocolate, candy, things like that. Fat. So this is the fat. This is the area that we all kind of focus on, you know, but no one really knows good fat versus bad fat, because we all need fat in our diet, right? But this is the one thing that scares everyone.
It's a bad word.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So this is actually the body's second source of energy. It actually provides more energies and calories per gram. But with that, it also is more difficult to burn. Foods that are rich in fat are like the oils, butter, milk, cheese, and some types of meat as well. And then vitamins and minerals. So these are needed in small amounts, and sometimes they're called the micronutrients. But these are actually very essential for good health as well. And I think the other key thing that I've kind of left out from these is we all underestimate the necessity of water. You know, water is the biggest thing that we all ignore. You know, water actually makes, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Patel, but I think it makes, you know, 60 to 70% of the adult bodies actually water.
That's correct.
And, you know, growing up, we all hear, oh, you should drink 6 to 8 glasses of water. And
I was just going to ask that question. What's a good amount of water on average in a day that somebody should drink?
Right. It's still about the same. It's 8 to 10 glasses, about 2 liters of water. That's a recommended amount.
And that's that is the recommended amount. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't think there's a exact number.
Right.
I think if we look at the research, there's no, you know, that you have to take an exact one. But I think what Dr. Nair just mentioned is a good kind of average number to be at. Now, for instance, if you're running a marathon and you're losing all that water, I mean, you're going to have to put that back
in. You have to hydrate.
Right, correct. You know, what I kind of tell my patients, and then again, this is a very a vague kind of a little suggestion that I give them, is that monitor your urine. I mean, if you're, you know, you look at the color of your urine, and if it's dark yellow and has this kind of asparagus smell to it, you're a little dehydrated. You know, you gotta increase that water intake. Now, again, with certain conditions, we actually ask to limit water intake because it's not good for you. But these are unhealthy, you know, they've got conditions. So that's a different topic in its own. But for normal aging, you do want to make sure you keep that water intake enough that you're hydrating your body. And how do we know you're hydrating your body? It's what Dr. Nair mentions. You take first in the intake, the 2 liters, of water per day, and monitoring your urine to see how much output you do have, and see the color of the urine. What you'll see with water intake also is that it cushions the organs. You know, it cushions your brain, has it's everywhere in the body. We need it. It's essential. You'll see that you produce more saliva when you have enough water in the body. Your tear ducts are better. It keeps your eyes nice and moist. Your mouth nice and moist as well. You actually get protection of the organs because it's you have enough of that water around it, around the cells. Excuse me.
I think these are such basic things that maybe people know about,
correct,
but maybe unconsciously,
right,
they know about. And part of what we're trying to do with today's topic is to bring folks to consciously be aware of,
right,
what they may already know. Most people really do. But take that first step. Let me remind our listeners that we have Dr. Nair and Dr. Patel from Choice Medical Group here in our studios for Eye on the Community. The doctors have agreed that we're going to do a series of healthcare topics over the next months, and our next topic is going to address how to prepare for a doctor's visit,
correct,
whether you've gone to a doctor or you haven't gone to a doctor.
Right.
We're going to have both Dr. Nair and Dr. Patel back in our studios for another segment of Eye on the Community.
We look forward to it.
Please feel free to make some closing comments for our listeners. The segments go pretty quickly, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They
really,
yeah,
do. Yeah,
which is,
right,
why we want to do a lot of these topics. And certainly anybody could reach out to us here at Entercom and ask us questions that we'd like to ask our doctors for future conversations. Final thoughts, Dr. Nair.
Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to the basics for me. You know, what I explain to my patients is make it simple, make life easy. Don't make it overly complicated. If you complicate things, nothing will get done. Keep things simple. If you feel like, you know, it always comes down to me, you know, what they tell me is like, I don't have time. You know, I don't have time. I was like, you have to make time. We all, you know, do things that waste our time throughout the day. Take 20 or 30 minutes for yourself, because this is the one part of medicine that's not going to cost you anything.
Right.
To take care of yourself, you have to make yourself the priority.
And people can control that 20 minutes.
Correct.
Nobody else can control that.
Correct.
Dr. Patel.
I want to say, well, first, thanks for having us again. This was
most
great.
Welcome.
And I look forward to the next segments as well. I want to close off. I do agree with everything that Dr. Nair just said. And I want to add that talk to your doctor about what your goals are. You know, what are your health goals? Is it, you know, that if you have a fear of going on to medications, then tell your doctor that. And talk about what steps you do have to take to prevent yourself from being on medications. And that goes back to what Dr. Nair was saying, is keep it simple. You can make the changes early to prevent some of these conditions to come out. And I think taking those steps will help all our listeners. I think all our listeners live healthy lives.
Thank you very much. This is Jeff Salkin for Eye on the Community, and we look forward to our next segment. And we hope everybody has a very healthy week.
Yes,
and thank you for listening.
Thank you for having us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.